Hi, this is David.
This is Maddie.
And this is Gabriel.
And you're listening to Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas.
Hi, folks, and welcome once again. Thanks for joining us today. It's really good to be here with you. Today is Sunday, November 22nd. You know, one of the most beautiful Psalms of Thanksgiving in the Bible is Psalm 100. You're going to see what I mean in just a moment because it is really tiny. It's only 5 verses long, but there's loads of encouragement and guidance in there. We're going to unpack that today. So I want you to open your Bibles or Bible apps to Psalm 100 as we enter with Thanksgiving this beautiful time in this beautiful psalm. Are you ready? Here we go. Psalm 100, starting with verse 1. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege we have to study your word today. Teach us what guidance and encouragement we can get from this Psalm of Thanksgiving, Psalm 100, and how to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, with all my heart, I believe that we as a people and a nation have been truly blessed by God. And of all those who give thanks to him and praise his name, our name, as believers in Christ, Christians, should be at the top of that list. This time of year, people are regularly making out Christmas lists, or some are even starting in advance for their New Year's resolution lists. But there's another list that I think we often overlook, and that's a Thanksgiving Day list for all the things that we're thankful for. Now, let me read you a part of a list that several housewives compiled. They wrote that they were especially thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back with all of their after-dinner snacks. These housewives were also thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals, they said. These housewives were also thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. There's such a joy, you just hate to see them go back to their own parents, they said. They're also thankful for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. There you go. And lastly, these housewives were thankful for smoke alarms because they let you know when the turkey is done. Right on. Now, our list might not be the same as theirs, but I'm convinced that if you and I began to make a list, we would find that we have much more to be thankful for than just material possessions. Like you, I'm sure that my list would include the major things in life, you know, things like health and family and friends and the nation we live in, despite all of its flaws. But even more than that, I'm thankful for my salvation. I wouldn't be here without it. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for the mercy that God showers upon us each and every day. With Jesus, we've got so much for which we need to be thankful for and to celebrate, especially in Thanksgiving. But has it ever occurred to you that no Americans were more underprivileged than a small handful from the Mayflower who started this custom of setting aside Thanksgiving Day and setting it aside to honor Almighty God? They had no homes. They had no government agency to help them build homes. They had no means of transportation except for their legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to get that for themselves. They had no money and no place to spend it, even if they had it. They had no amusements except for what they made for themselves. No means of communication with their relatives in England. No Social Security, no Medicare. But anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would probably have ended up in the stocks, for they did have what I think are the 4 greatest human assets we can have. 1, they had initiative. And they had courage. They had a willingness to work, and they had a boundless faith in God. Now, our forefathers had a boundless faith in God as well. That almost sounds strange today, especially because there are powerful forces at work in our nation to strip every reminder that this very foundation of our nation was built upon the conviction that we are one nation under God. There is so much against that today. Our hallowed Declaration of Independence proclaims, and I quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And it ends with these words, and I quote, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor," end quote. Thanksgiving Day is a really distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle. It doesn't commemorate someone's birthday or anniversary. It's a day that is set aside to express our nation's thanks to our nation's God. That's what it's really all about. In 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation. Now, I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I am going to share part of it with you. I want you to see how strong and absolute the acknowledgement of the fact of God and our nation's dependence on him is stated. Washington wrote, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress," did you get that? "Both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God." It goes on. "Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that is good, that was or will be." So read the very first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation. This Thursday, our nation is going to pause to celebrate once again what we know is Thanksgiving Day. And one would assume that because of the example of our forefathers, and because today we have so much, we would be an extremely thankful people. You'd think that, right? But it's often just the opposite, isn't it? The more we get, the less we become thankful, the less mindful of God we are. And yet we want more. I think that Psalm 100 was written to deal with this very attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. Now, first, the thing I want to talk about to start is the basis of our thanksgiving. Psalm 100 was written for the people of Israel. God said to them in Deuteronomy 31:10, "For I will bring them into a land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. There they will become prosperous, eat all the food they want, and become fat. But they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant." You know, it didn't take long for the realization to come upon the people of Israel that they needed a reminder. And I'm afraid we need a reminder too. Maybe God has us in mind as well. When Psalm 100 was written, I think God was thinking about us today. Did you notice to whom it was addressed? The first verse said it was addressed to all the earth. And in the last verse, verse 5, it said it includes each generation. This message of thanksgiving, it is so deep, it is so wide, that it applies to every person in every era, in every stage of life. You know, it's sad that there's only three countries in the world that celebrate Thanksgiving: Canada, the Philippines, and the United States. What would it be like if other countries around the world suddenly began to observe and practice being thankful? Wow. Just think of the possibilities. I think there's something about giving thanks together when we honor God that breaks down barriers between people, and it brings about unity. This nation is crying for unity. You want to be united? Then let's be thankful to the God who gave us this life. What a difference that would make. I also think there's a real danger in this season of determining our Thanksgiving based on what we have. Like, have I stuffed myself with enough turkey? I'm in a food coma. Is my money in the bank secure? Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether or not we're going to be thankful. The psalmist says that all these things may change at any time. They may drift away, they may burn up, or somebody might come and steal them. The only thing we have for sure is our relationship with God. And that's what Psalm 100 is emphasizing. Just read it again. Go back and look at it again. Because in verse 1, what do you find? You'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, what do you find? You find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, what do you find? You'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then in verse 5, you'll find the name of the Lord. So the basis of our thanksgiving clearly is not on us. It is on the Lord. It is all about him. Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. And when asked, why was it there? Mr. Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and I think they're wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of that fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. Right on to that. That's the basis of Thanksgiving, folks, to remember that we got here with the help of God and that he is the provider for every blessing we have. That's our basis for Thanksgiving. Now, let's get into this a little bit more and talk about 5 Thanksgiving commands. Now, as you look more carefully at this psalm, go back and look at it yet again, you're going to find a series of 5 commands that are given in these verses. Here's the first command. It's found in verse 1. And it says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. We've probably heard that 100 times, haven't we? But what does it mean? It means to shout with the force of a trumpet blast. That's not quiet. That's powerful. A shout for joy to the Lord. It comes from the very depths of who we are. Maybe he solved a problem for you. Maybe he's given you a direction to go. Maybe you've got a blessing and you realize it's come from God. So from the depths of your being, you proclaim his praise. You shout about his glory and his goodness. Roland Allen tells about a veteran missionary who came up to him one day after he delivered his sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India, and I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in the area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. But this missionary had developed a treatment which would stop the progressive blindness. So people came to him, and he performed his treatment, and they would leave realizing that they had become completely blind, but because of him, their sight had been saved. He said that they never said thank you because that phrase was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful, they couldn't wait to proclaim it. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it inside anymore. And from the depths of your being, you shout for joy to the Lord. Does that make sense? Yes. Here's the second command. It's found in verse 2a, in other words, the first part of verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the preacher. It doesn't say serve the leaders. It doesn't say serve the organization. It says serve the Lord. The Bible teaches that if we witness on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we're serving the Lord. In Matthew 25, verse 40, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. I'm not so sure that we grasp that. Maybe we serve at times out of a feeling of obligation. Maybe we serve out of a fear of guilt. Or maybe even because we want to draw attention to ourselves. It happens. It's natural for us to want appreciation when we do something that's worthwhile. But the psalmist says, in whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. That's the second command. Here's the third command. It's found in the second half of that same verse 2, verse 2b. It says, come before him singing with joy. Psalm 98:4 says, break out in praise and sing for joy. I can do that. And I know you can too. You ever noticed that in these first three commands, God has said, I want you to be happy. I want you to shout with joy. I want you to serve with gladness. I want you to come with joyful songs. That's powerful. Now, just take a moment. Look at your family. Or if you're by yourself today and you're watching this video, that's okay. Take a look at your circle of friends, maybe your circle of influence. Just look at those around you. Do they look happy? Or are they just sitting there? Maybe they've got scowls on their faces. Now, I realize if you're with a group of people, maybe you've got masks on and you can't see each other's expression, but you can see their eyes. And you can tell if somebody is smiling. The eyes are a dead giveaway, if nothing else. The psalmist says, come before him and serve him, singing with joy in your heart. Yes! Here's command number 4. It's found in verse 3, and it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, we are his, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, in the first part of verse 3, in this particular verse here, the psalmist says, in essence, that God took every bone, every joint, and he welded them together with sinews and muscles, and he covered them with skin. He gave us eyes to see and brains to think with and fingers that can pick things up. God made us inside and out. He made you the way he wanted you to be, and he made me the way he wanted me to be. That's a mystery, isn't it? I mean, I don't understand why, but somehow in God's providence, he decided that he wanted a portly sized man, not too good looking, not really outstanding in anything, but a faithful father and husband to just keep plodding along. And so he made me. Someplace along the way, he had you in mind too. And he made you. And he's still making us. That's the thing. It's important for us to realize. He's not satisfied with an unfinished product. He's not satisfied with your temper. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of your life where you're giving in to temptation. He's still working on us. He's still making us. We're a construction zone. Welcome to the construction zone. We are a work in progress for sure. God is your maker, and you are created in his image. I know that may be hard to understand, but just because you may not feel it doesn't mean it isn't true. The Bible says it. You're made in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who you are, because you are good in Jesus' name. Then in the latter part of this same verse, God says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, most of us want to be the shepherd, not the sheep, right? That's a pretty common response. We say, hey, it's no fun being the sheep. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters are. We don't know where the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them, what happens? We inevitably find ourselves wandering around somewhere in the far country. God is saying, you be the sheep, I'll be the shepherd. I know where the still waters are. I know where the green pastures are. I'm going to take you there. Just let me lead. And here's the final command. Command number 5. It's found in verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Wow. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people would come to the temple, they'd gather in the courtyards. They knew that they'd come into the presence of God. Now that temple no longer exists. But oftentimes the place where we meet to worship God is called a sanctuary or is called a worship center, indicating that God is there. But then God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. You know that. He's with you as you drive down the highway. He's there with you at work. He's there with you at home. He's there with you when you're having coffee with a friend. He's there with you as you take care of your children. He's there with you every moment of your life. That's the source of our thanksgiving, isn't it? But I'm worried. What if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? What if God met our needs to the same extent we give our lives to him? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled after God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow him today? Oh, Lord, help us to be thankful that you do not punish us for our sins or deal harshly with us as we so deserve. Beloved, I pray that this is going to be a meaningful Thanksgiving season for you and your family. Please take time and go back and read this incredibly powerful Psalm of Thanksgiving, Psalm 100 again. And if you'll pay close attention to the commands that we talked about today, your heart is going to overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.